Welcome to My Life, Chassidus Applied, episode 470. We continue special edition of Israel at War. Our hearts, our prayers, our souls go out first and foremost to those Meisrei Nefesh, those giving their lives, sacrificing their lives to protect the innocent men, women, and children of Eretz Yisrael, to all the shattered families and broken homes and broken hearts due to the losses, the soldiers that fell, those that died in such a brutal way on Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, and the hostages that we pray for to come back unscathed. This is on our mind, front and center. So we'll focus on that through the eyes of Chassidus, through the eyes of Torah, to try to gain strength, clarity, confidence, hope, and everything we need to get through such a difficult challenge and come out even stronger. This program is dedicated in loving memory of Miriam Bas Elio Altes, Aleha Shalom, and in merit of Baruch Binyamin Ben Nuchalana Altes, Yukasil Ben Le Rochel, and Rochel Bas Liba Farkash, dedicated by Pinchas Tadris Ben Miriam and Sarah Bas Rochel Altes. So to organize and structure as much as possible the many, and I'm talking about the hundreds if not thousands of questions that are coming my direction, let me begin by saying that we created a special page, a special section on our website, meaningfullife.com/war in Israel, where you can find these programs and many others. I'm talking about now, I've done probably over 60, 70 videos, some short, some longer, addressing the developing events as well as different resources that from Torah and Chassidus, and how to find strength and how to find clarity and how to understand the deeper inner story here, how to help our children make sense of it, and above all, what we can and should be doing. So see this program as a part of all of that. Difficult to address everything in 1 hour, but in talking about it over different times, different programs, hopefully we can try to cover as many of the issues that we are struggling with now. So structuring it, as I did somewhat last week, I'm structuring it as strength and direction, actions, the empowering Torah portions that we're reading in these weeks that help us live with the times and understand events. Chav Chesron, being that yesterday was Chav Chesron, the Rebbe Rashab. End story, where is this going? Who owns the land of Israel? What should be our reaction to the anti-Semitism on campuses and academia? How should we respond to sympathizers of our enemies? And alternative interventions. I can't say that I will be able to cover all of this, but my goal is to cover as much as possible. So I think a good place to begin, a good place, every place is not good, but is to begin with strength and direction. So I've talked about this in the past weeks, and we know what we learned from the Rebbe, from the Rabbeim, from Eden, from the beginning of time, that in the most difficult challenges, we become stronger, more united, and more committed to what Hashem wants from us, to goodness, to mitzvahs, to achdus and avos Yisrael, to chinuch of our children, especially our young children, and to the mitzvahs that have special zgulas, special features and strengths that help us in times like this. Tefillin for boys and men after bar mitzvah, mezuzah on the doors, neshek, lighting candles for women and women and girls, additional tzedakah, and of course additional prayers. So this, besides begging God and beseeching God and doing everything we can to completely eliminate the enemy and find peace again, and ultimately the peace of Geula, but these methods, so to speak, these Torah methods also give us strength. It's part of the war. There's the physical part, there's the spiritual part of the war. And we don't ask why, we ask what are we supposed to do. So that's the first message of all. And I've discussed this in last week and 2 weeks ago, many of my programs. And this is essentially the theme that we've been taught. By Yisoh, we move forward. And we do everything b'derech hateva. We prepare for war as Yaakov did, and we go to war to eradicate any enemy that's threatening our very lives. And it has not just threatened, but unfortunately taken lives. But we also have the spiritual war with an equal amount of passion. And ultimately, the question asked, what do we learn from this tragedy, was asked. Without going into understanding, whether we could understand or not understand, but what we learn is that our commitment to good is greater than their commitment to evil. Our commitment to life is greater than their commitment to death. Our commitment to light is greater than their commitment to darkness. Greater. That's how you fight demonic passion through a supra shtus. The lumas are much worse than shtus. How do you fight it? Through supra rational passion toward godliness, goodness. We have a mission. Mission is to transform this world and make Adira b'tachtenim. Unfortunately, tachtenim includes cheshach, kofla, mechupa, molly, klippas, v'sitra, achra, to the point that you have forces that say, aniva, afsi, aid. And we've seen it demonstrated. But our job is to eradicate shvirosan zui takanosam, to eliminate the negative, and that actually is the best repair of all, and to bring in tremendous amount of divine light that dispels darkness, and the greatest light is the one that comes through darkness. That's the strength, the amunah, the betochen, being tzugibun neben, bound above, that gives us strength down below. The Rambam says, beginning of Hilchos Tainius, that when a catastrophe happens, it's achzorius, insensitive to see it as mikra nikris, some coincidence, something random. It's a wake-up call. A wake-up call. And we see the wake-up call. Look at the Eden. Look at the wake-up call of the unity, unprecedented. Why it has to come from a negative experiences, that's beyond part of the mysteries. But it has come. We have to look in introspection, soul-searching, says the Rambam. Not pointing fingers, not yourself and not at others. But Hashgacha Pratis, you see something. We're not passive. We're part of the process. We're part of the unfolding story. And Hashem says, I want you to do something. Physically, spiritually, on every level that we've been discussing. How should we deal with fear? Exactly the same thing. Le'ira. We don't fear, we have Hashem. It's very difficult to not have fear when you look at the material world. You know, you see someone with weapons, you see someone that's dangerous, you see violence. So you can't just ignore it. That's not solving it. You connect to something that's deeper than that violence. You connect to something that is the eternal source of life. V'atam advekim b'Hashem alekechem chayim kulchem mayim. To the Mechaya Chaim, the Eberst himself, and the mitzvahs he's given us, and the direction he's given us. That's what counters fear. So it's from Kenish Medahab, the Baal Shem Tov was told by his father, accept that Eberst. Don't be afraid of anyone except God. Do we have to be prudent? Absolutely. To do whatever we need to do, but derech hateva, natural means. But not fear. Because God is with us. Especially the Amah Nivcha, the chosen people, the Jewish people. Especially in Eretz Yisrael, where Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo Mereshit Hashana V'ad Achri Shana. But the guy is Ashgacha. God is watching every moment. Layonim v'lay yishin shemir Yisrael. And with our mitzvahs and our additional commitments, we only strengthen that Ashgacha. We only strengthen that protection. And that divine surveillance that helps us in times like this. Look at the soldiers. Look at their singing. Look at their unity. Look at their eyes. Young people fighting for our survival. But their greetings to their families for Shabbos, the way they sing. How can you not get strength when you see that? And we need to be doing that wherever we are in the world. And that's how we deal with fear. What should we tell our children? We tell our children, each according to the way they understand, Chanech l'na'al pidarkei, that God created a world, as we read in Parsha Bereshis, the week when all this began. Yavdil ben er l'cheshech, God created two paths, light and dark. And later in the Torah we say, behold, here are two paths, the path of life, the path of opposite of life. People can choose. And my dear child, sometimes people choose, unfortunately, the path of opposite of life. But the Eibishter says, "Ubacharta b'chaim, you shall choose life." And that's what we choose to choose. Life, light. So let's add, do a mitzvah together. Let's add strength to Klal Yisrael, to each individual Jew through, and each individual human being on earth, through doing, learning a little extra Torah, a little extra tzedakah, another prayer, another act of kindness to someone. So both with showing our children that there is a world where it's dark, we don't have to go into all the details, but above all, ma'at er decha har b'cheshach, a little light dispels darkness, and you can actually show them, take a candle, go into a dark room and say, look, without effort, we light a little candle, right away gets brighter, there's no battle. Like the Alter Rebbe explains in Perek Yud Beis in Tanya. I say, that's what our good deeds do. It dispels darkness. To the point we will transform the darkness into light. Children learn from our own confidence, from our own fortitude, our own resilience. Okay. Question, should we be traveling to Israel now? Hi, huge thanks for it all and for all that you're doing and all your responses and your steadfastness and persistence. It gives me and many people strength. I'm still trying to understand if Israel is the safest place, meaning yeshivas should allow or expect the Americans to come. Americans should feel it's okay to fly to Israel to yeshiva. I feel like, does Israel need more of a burden right now to protect more people? Do we need to crowd up the miklatim? Miklatim are the shelters. So maybe it's two separate questions. The Rebbe countless times reiterated it won't be done, as he says, it's poshut, pikuach nefesh. But also the Rebbe said to return to Eretz Yisrael after Yom Kippur War. I myself went back right after the Simchas Torah war ended. Right now it seems like a very different situation. After that Simchas Torah, he means Yom Kippur War, and then the war ended. Right now it seems like a very different situation. Schools are closed to protect. It's in the middle of war. Rockets are falling. We should travel anyways to study. I keep grappling with that. Thank you. So first of all, it's case by case situations, and obviously we don't do things that are reckless. And if Israel would give an issue an order that the people shouldn't come right now for whatever reason, it's one thing. But in general, the Rebbe's approach was, do not hold back because of fear. If you could help there directly, whether it's being in the reserves or in the military, then obviously. If there are other ways you could help, for sure. But let's say yeshiva students, do not change, because it's part of our strength is that we stand strong, we don't retreat. But does that mean you should suddenly go on a family trip to vacation in Israel? No, this is not a time for that. So it all comes down to the details of the situation, but not because of fears. It could be other chesedim, other calculations. And the Rebbe kept saying, why does he not change his position? Because the Torah says, Eretz Asher Eini Hashem Elokecha B'Mereish Hashanah V'Adach Rishonah. It's not the Rebbe came up with an idea, it's a pasuk in the Torah. And as the basis of Jewish survival throughout history, we didn't put ourselves in danger. But when we're in a situation, we don't run away, especially Simon Shin Chav Tez that the Rebbe used not just for Eretz Yisrael, but for Crown Heights and for South Africa and many other places. It's a time to be stronger and we need each other. Which brings me to the next question somebody asked. Should we be running away from Israel? Dear Rabbi Jacobson, how do we know if our situation now is similar to pre-war Europe and we need to leave our countries before things get too bad? We want to stay strong and positive and live without fear. But at the same time, we don't want to repeat last mistakes. Should all the Jews just move to Israel to avoid what happened during the Holocaust when it was too late? Not sure, they're both a double-edged question. So the answer is, first of all, we don't look back at what happened then. We look at what's right now. There are many, many differences. Secondly, I'm going with my Rebbe's approach, our Rebbe's approach. And he did not have that concern, not during the Six-Day War, not during the Yom Kippur War. Never had that approach that we have to be afraid like it was in Europe. And on the contrary, our going actually strengthens the land, as we've seen. Are there dangers in the world? There are dangers. There are dangers also in the United States, as we've also seen, unfortunately. So we do not think in terms that what's going to happen now is going to happen now. If you want to be pessimistic and start thinking the worst possible scenarios, but that's not the way of a Jew. It's not the way of Torah. It's not the way of Chassidus. And I don't even want to go there. Can I make arguments of the differences? Yes, I can. But I know you're someone who's negative can make arguments. What do you mean? We were always overconfident during the Spanish Golden Age, Europe, and so on. But remember also, we've been told that Mashiach is right at the threshold. That does change things. Does that mean that this in any way minimizes what happened here? No. Does it mean we should not eradicate our enemy? Obviously not. But to come create a panic and create a situation, let us all now. And where exactly are you going to be safe? You could say the United States could also turn on Jews. Rahman al-Islam, hoyalesi. So the approach is, Hashem protects us. We protected us for 3,800 years and we are here. You can imagine what it was like after the Roman destruction of the Second Temple. The Babylonian destruction of the First Temple. Golus Mitzrayim. Every Golus. We stood strong. V'hisha'am delanu. But the Eibishter stood with us. The same time, the Eibishter also gives us resources. Thank God today we have a military. We have intelligence. I mean mind, hearts. We have support. We have financial power, political power. Is there the concept of Esav Seinu Yankiv? We know there is. And it's rearing its ugly head. But we have absolutely believed that the majority of the world will stand with us and protect us. But it's not because of them that we rely on. Because of the Eibishter, we rely on God. And God, through our mitzvahs of thousands of years, has changed the world. And the world is a more civilized place and more accepting. And therefore you find admirable acts of nobility and words coming from non-Jewish world, coming from Christians, in support of Eretz Yisrael and in support of the Eden. And what it says in the Torah, that the Eibishter gave the promised land to Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yankov, and to all the Jews. That's our attitude. Okay. So with that, let us go. The next section, actions. Let's talk about actions. What actions should we be taking? So I mentioned the basic ones, but let's begin with general All Torah mitzvahs, the chizuk of the three pillars that hold the world up, Ashleish Dvarim Elam Emed, and the Elam also Elam Katan Za'adam, every individual microcosm of an individual, Torah Aveda Gemilas Chasad. The three pillars, Torah, the study and learning of Torah, additional Torah, especially in these times, Aveda Tefillah, Tehillim, Aveda Shebelev, and Gemilas Chasadim, which includes all the mitzvahs, good deeds, kind deeds. Specifically, we talked about tefillin and mezuzah and chinuch and avos Yisrael and neshek and lighting candles and other mitzvahs. So that's overall. But actions also include educating ourselves, making sure we have that moral clarity, teaching others, knowing what to answer and what to explain, encouraging people to increase in Torah and mitzvahs, encouraging children, encouraging adults, men, women, and children, wherever they may be. Maisa echad, one action, good deed, one good word, one good thought, as the Rambam says, could be machriya, tips the scales to tshuva atzolah, brings tshuva atzolah, redemption, salvation, to each individual and to the entire world. So that's the actions in general that we should be taking. Someone writes, dear Rabbi Jacobson, unfortunately, since the IDF entered Gaza, there have been some Israeli soldiers that have been killed. What mitzvah prayer can I do here in New York to guarantee that the war will end quickly and peace will be restored with zero more casualties to the IDF from this day forward? So the mitzvahs I just mentioned, say extra tefillah, and go out of your comfort zone. You want the Eibishter to go beyond his comfort zone, kavyochel, so to speak, to change things on the ground here. We go out of our comfort zone. B'chol meidecha, we go beyond our natural strengths, we go beyond. We draw down from the Mo'ed Amiti, from above, the beyond. Go out of your comfort zone. Make extra time to learn with someone. Go out of your way to help someone that's in need. These are all things that have midi keneged midi, essentially a type of mirror neuron effect, that an act here has the butterfly ripple effect on events there and everywhere in the world. If you're in a position to support Eretz Yisrael, to support the IDF, and to support different needs there, by all means, it's the mitzvah of tzedakah and also specifically geared to the needs there. Think of it like it's your battle. It's your issue. Not just you helping someone else. And you'll be creative and you'll come up with many ideas, and many things are needed today. We're in the middle of a propaganda war, information war. To clarify, you may be in a position to write something, to speak about it, to support people who write and speak about it. The main thing is when you know it's you, it's yours, affecting your life, the juices begin to flow, the creative juices, in coming up with different ideas. So take it personally, and I see you write that way. It hurts us all when you see a young 20-year-old who's fallen and flew just to protect against our enemies. It's yours, it's like your child, it's like your relative, like your brother, your sister. So then we have to behave accordingly. So it's the simas lev, and then you come up with ideas. I can't give you every idea because each of us has to come up with things that speak to us. For me, it's speaking out, it's teaching, it's writing, it's traveling, and trying to give chizuk and strength and clarity as much as one as I can do, possibly do. Obviously every other way as well, giving tzedakah, adding in mitzvahs, and adding in tefillahs, and adding in Torah. I've been talking a lot about Kol HaEsek B'Torah Se'ila. Says that you can't bring a carbon. So the Torah says, when you learn the Torah about the carbon, the halachas, the dinim, the background, and so on, it's ke'ilu hikri, God considers as if you're bringing the carbon. So learning about events of Eretz Yisrael, why is Eretz Yisrael such a special land? learning about the events of the enemies surrounding us that go back all the way to Avram and Yishmael and Yitzchak. We'll talk about that soon. And then Yaakov and Esav. So learning in Teira, Yaakov and Esav Amurim Beparsha, as it's in Teira, that also, Teira is the blueprint of life. It's talk about Isa Bara Ami, you look in Teira, the Eibishter looked in Teira, and he created the world accordingly. So the Zohar continues, Kach Barnas, so a human being, a person, studies Teira, looks in Teira, V'kayim Alma, and preserves the world. So studying in Teira is another way of so-called going into the engine room, to the internal wiring. That's why Tefillah and Teira reaches that inner place, and that in turn reverberates and has an impact, cause and effect, action, reaction, on the events on the ground. So all these are all things that we could be doing. So now someone asks, what more should we be doing? Some people are complaining that the increase in people putting on tefillin and lighting Shabbos candles are not having the desired effect of restoring the peace fast enough. Perhaps we need to increase even more. In the olden days, we used to wear tefillin all day long, but the rabbis then changed it to only wearing them during Shacharis. Perhaps we should add some of it back. For example, if davening starts at 8, we should show up a few minutes early and put on our tefillin and just say Tehillim or learn a page of Teira. And when davening ends, we stay an extra few minutes with our tefillin on. Excellent idea. And women can participate by lighting a Shabbos candles a few minutes early, thereby adding a few more minutes of Shabbos and its holiness. Does Rabbi Jacobson think that this is a good idea? Absolutely. That's a perfect example. You thought about it. You generated new ideas. We often put our heads together or separately and come up with ideas like this and implement. I can tell you, as long as it's within the framework of Allah, you don't even have to ask. If you have a doubt, you can ask someone you trust. You can ask me. You can ask your mentor, your mashpia. But this is exactly how we should be thinking. Imagine if all of us are thinking this way. You know how much light, how much power we would be generating. So that's what more we should be doing. Another person writes, should there be special emphasis on mitzvah mezuzah? Should there be a mitzvah mezuzah? Being that, number one, it's 50 years from when the Rebbe began pushing it. That was in Tovshin Lamed Gimel. There was a tragic attack, a terrorist attack on Maalot in a school in northern Israel. Two, it's a mitzvah which is all about protection, both for people themselves and for Yidden and Eretz Yisrael. Here is the Sikha, and individual writes, sends me a link, where the Rebbe speaks about how to view the tragedy of the massacre of the school children from Tzvas, that Malot, and especially every mezuzah brings protection for all of Klal Yisrael, and especially for those in Eretz Yisrael. If someone wants a link to it, please go to chassidusapplied.com, the forum that you can post any question you have. Nothing is off limits. You can also ask, but send us your email, because without that, we can't send you the link. The answer is, of course, absolutely. Are our increased good actions making a difference? For the past few weeks, someone writes, all of our rabbis are saying the same thing. The only way to protect ourselves and the state of Israel is to increase in davening, learning Torah, mitzvahs, etc. But don't you think the rabbis in Europe in 1939 said the same thing? And in 1939, it unfortunately didn't help. Unless modern-day apologists try to say it really did help back then, because the heavenly decree was for 6 million people to perish, but Hashem had mercy because of the increase in mitzvahs in 1939 and changed the decree to only 6 million. So the question is, how do we know that our good deeds help? They didn't seem to help the Jews in World War II. As well, the question, are increased good deeds making a difference? The mysteries of God's ways, as I've been emphasizing again and again, I say it again without any hesitation, we don't know. Why we're still in Golus, why we've suffered, how many mitzvahs have been done over the last few thousand years, Siddes Nefesh, going back all the way to Adam and Chava, and going back to Avraham Avinu, and Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, and so on. We absolutely believe that every mitzvah makes a difference. Whether you see it or not, what do we see? What do we know about the world? We don't even know the effect of one subatomic particle, of one strand of hair. I mentioned before the butterfly effect. What do we know? We're limited human beings with myopic vision that only see things on a very external level. We see the tip of the iceberg. Yes, science. Slowly we come to uncover there's so much more. I'm just using a scientific example. It comes to God, infinite that we don't know. So the fact that we don't see effect, no one should be arrogant to think, since I don't see it, there's no effect. Why would you say that? I would say the exact opposite. What do we already see? Do I see the effect of every piece of food that goes into my gullet? Do I see the effect of people's behavior one way or the other? Sometimes you see. Most cases you don't see. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes even with that, you don't know. So let's begin with that it's a basic foundation. God created the world, and our actions absolutely matter. Mitzvah zu, as the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, the yichudzeh of a mitzvah is kayemes la'ad, it's forever and ever. Nitzchi, he says, yichudzeh nitzchi la'elam nitzuzeh l'mayla, yichudzeh nitzchi l'mayla, forever and ever. The language Chassidus uses sometimes is like, it generates energy that's like munach b'kufsa. It's like placed inside of a chest, but it's there. When you open the chest, you see a volcano erupt. It doesn't erupt overnight. The pressures build up to the point that then it erupts. On a positive side, our good deeds have changed this world, and then they will erupt. They've already erupted in changing the world for the better. Then the final eruption will be the Gula Amitis Vashlema, and I mean a positive eruption without any destruction. So yes, every tefillah helps, and every mitzvah helps, and every Torah helps. What happened then during the Holocaust? Like Mrs. Waxman said, when her child was killed, last minute the IDF came, but they couldn't save the child. And they were davening and praying, and someone asked her, what happened to the prayer? She said, we prayed. And Hashem heard it, and Hashem listened, and he answered. His answer was no. No, as in, I'm saving your child. I mean, the dignity, just the Kiddush Hashem of such an answer. Of course we would have wanted it differently. So we don't know the mysteries. Was it heard by Hashem? No question. Did Hashem say no, or did he say yes, and the yes takes on a different shape and form, and maybe it emerges years later, and maybe the blessings of your life right now, wherever you are in the world, that you're successful and prosperous, and you have family and children and grandchildren, and you don't have to worry about anyone persecuting you, maybe that's God's yes to the prayers. Why didn't it happen in 1939? I have no answer. But that's our attitude. It's always been that attitude. Of course you can play the skeptic. But where's the skepticism leading you? Is it motivating you? Is it helping you, or just creating more cynicism and more resignation and more depression? So that's our approach when it comes to questions like that. And I can't tell people what to think or what to say. I'm just sharing what the Torah Chassidus approach to things are. Okay. So there's someone, another, I guess, cynic, skeptic, and I can understand it. People are in pain, people are frustrated, writes like this. Dear Rabbi Jacobson, since the war has started, there's been a huge increase in people fighting the simultaneous spiritual war, by putting on tefillin and adding a mitzvah for the purpose of convincing Hashem to have mercy on us and restore the peace. But unfortunately, the violence is still escalating. When people are in a war and in desperate situations and they try something to help and it doesn't work, logic says they should change course and try something different. I'm going to read this even though I'm not feel very comfortable reading this, but someone's writing it, so time like this, our family is crying out in the pain, so see this as a cry from pain. Perhaps instead of increasing and putting on film, we should go on strike and refuse to put on film until Hashem restores the peace. We know Hashem gets pleasure when we do mitzvahs, just like the IDF made a siege on Gaza not allowing anything to get in. Maybe we should make a spiritual siege on Hashem and say there will be absolutely no Torah and mitzvahs getting through our embargo until you do your job and restore the peace and return all the hostages safely to their families. Well, with all respect, and I hope it's not just a cynical type of gallows humor in times like this. We don't need this type of reaction. Would you, for example, use this logic and say, since the violence is not abating, we're not succeeding, so instead of trying to eradicate Hamas and trying to attack and free the hostages, let's take a different approach. Let's put our guard down, and who knows what will happen. Maybe a miracle will happen. That's also changing things. No, you'll never say that, because the weapons are necessary to get the job done. Torah and mitzvahs are not options. These are God's instruments to give us strength, to give us spiritual strength, to fight a spiritual war. So it's like saying, we're going to put down our weapons because something hasn't worked exactly. So besides what I said earlier, that who says it hasn't worked, I will say it absolutely has worked, even if you don't see it. But what are we going to do now? Say, okay, we will not do what God gave us to give us strength. We're not going to speak kindly to our children because we're going to do an embargo. We're going to boycott. We're going to blackmail God. I'm not going to be kind until you do what you have to do. You tell me the logic of that. If you look at God like a juvenile child, like a principal in the school, you know what? We all lock ourselves in the room until the principal changes his mind. But we're talking about God here. We're talking about Torah and mitzvahs. We need God more than ever, and we need Torah and mitzvahs more than ever. That's my short response and to the point. Okay. Can our words make a difference? Dear Rabbi Jacobson, the Baal Shem Tov taught us about the power of speech. Even telling a story of two men arguing and one telling the other he wants to rip him apart like a fish, and the Baal Shem Tov showed them how negative thoughts and words can have an effect in the physical world. What I would like to add is that if negative speech can have an effect, how much more so can positive speech have an effect? Perhaps we should all say out loud in our own words three times for a chazakah that we would like the terrorists to surrender without causing any casualties to the IDF and to return all the hostages safely, and that peace should be restored. Do you think this is a good idea, in addition to what the Rebbe publicized, that we need to increase putting on tefillin and adding in acts of kindness? So here's another person who's applied themselves and come up with an idea. Whether I would agree with this idea that the Hamas should surrender, will that work? I would say if you're going to increase in words, it should be in kind words to people you love. It's to apologize to people you may have hurt, to accept an apology if someone has hurt you. There are many ways to use the power of words. We know with Lashon Hara that it kills three. Obviously, Lashon Tov brings three alive, the speaker, the listener, and the one they're speaking about. So let's make a commitment to add in good words. In that sense, absolutely, that's the story of the Baal Shem Tov. So I don't know what it's about. If somebody feels their words and saying it, that can maybe project an energy, maybe. But I would definitely endorse the idea of good words. It goes into the categories, everything we've been talking about. Okay, we're still in the world of actions, and there's a lot about actions, which is good. Many, many questions have come in about it, many suggestions, as you've seen, which to me, this alone, I'm sure Hashem is listening to this program, this alone is an effort. Tarim Yikrov Aniyena. Even before we call out, I answer. But here's more than that. People are taking upon themselves mitzvahs and interesting ideas. As I pointed out, some of the ideas that came through here. And I'm sure out there's so many, many others. So the next question is about unity. How can we increase in Jewish unity, Avos and Achdus Yisrael? How can we increase Achdus to the level that Mashiach would have to come? What do you think that would look like, practically speaking? Are there any steps we can take to implement this? Should we make a group with representation from each type of Yid to decide on large enactments, or are individual small acts of Avos Yisrael enough? Well, all of the above. Avos Achdus Yisrael really is one of the easiest things to do. It's just that our nature, for some reason, resists it, at least some of us. So basically showing a total, non-judgmental, loving attitude to every human being. Eivas Abrius. Even if you don't see any qualities that the Alter Rebbe says, just the fact that God created them in the divine image is enough. Especially in our community and family, co-workers, make up with people, be less petty, broaden your horizons. What should Achdus, fighting for Achdus? And when you see Machlekes, God forbid, do whatever you can to extinguish it. Be mitamidav shalad, oyev sabrius, oyev shalom, v'reidav shalom, oyev sabrius, and makarvan l'teira. So there's no question, both individually and as a group. So that's, I don't want to even elaborate more. It's very straightforward. If it means coming together with your classmates or with your neighbors or with your community or with strangers, learning together online or in person, reaching out to people at work and other places. This is all Avos Achdus Yisrael. So there's no question that is Le'motzach Kodesh Baruch Hu Klei Machzik Baruch El HaShalom. The ultimate container for blessing is Shalom, is Achdus, is Av. We all know that. And we know Rachman al-Islam, what Peter does. So someone writes, I understand now there's a great emphasis on the war with Hamas. Yet I hope that someday you'll be able to address the great rift that exists between the very religious and the rest of the Israeli population. There's the feeling that in many respects there's a sense of two separate countries here. In many respects, but particularly the refusal to participate in the IDF and Israeli defense forces, this is a source of great negative feeling. So now, exactly right, it's not the time to speak, not the Chusn Shei Yisrael, but especially you've seen how it's transformed. The very people who had that rift are like talking to each other like brothers and sisters. I hear in Tel Aviv restaurants, Chmon al-Islan, not kosher restaurants, are making kosher food, so the IDF and those that eat kosher could eat kosher. Just one example. So what we have to hope for is that this tragedy that has brought us together should keep us together. And we don't need to have tragedies to create this Avos Achdus Yisrael. Okay. So another person writes about, this is connected to Chabad, so I'll just read it briefly. Dear Rav Simon, the Achdus in Klal Yisrael since the Simchas Torah program is inspiring and awesome and amazing. May it be permanent. Yet in a couple of weeks, we are going to have two Shluchim conferences. This scandal can no longer be tolerated. It's not Achdus. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in my view, there's no question. You can have different Ein Deyos Ein Shavuos, different opinions. And why not be totally united? And may this be, again, does it have to require tragedy? So be it, that's what happened. Let everyone come together, total Achdus, and may that alone pierce the heavens. We all know the Rebbe is Nasi Ador, this individual writes. We're all doing our best to fulfill our shlichas. These are reasons to love each other, and there are reasons to respect each other, and there are reasons to have one single and united shluchim conference. Rav Simon, please make this happen. I'm a nobody. I don't have influence over the people that make these decisions. I don't even know the names of the people who make these decisions. There's still time to make a united kinnis a reality for this year. The person then writes, please don't read this message on the program. I did read it intentionally. Since there's no name, I hope you're right with that. But I thought that it is worth stating. Okay. Talking about Achdus, let me see what other questions came in. Should we organize a million-man march? So somebody writes like this. I have to ask the following question that must be in the mind of so many Jews here in America. Why isn't there an announcement of a million-person pro-Israel rally of Jews and Gentiles on the Washington Mall as soon as possible. To all appearances, the American Jewish community at large currently appears confused, muted, scared, and intimidated. Over Shabbos, there appears to have been a brutal stabbing murder of a prominent young female Jewish leader in Detroit who worked prominently on Jewish-Muslim dialogue. Everybody's thinking it, but not saying it, that this is the beginning of a very different era in the history of Jews in this country. We need to start setting the tone of unity, purpose, and fellowship for American Jews in this new era. In 2002, 100,000 Jews rallied for Israel in front of the Capitol building when the IDF had to go into the West Bank under Prime Minister Sharon. And the situation now is much graver than it was then in Israel and worldwide for Jews. With Hashem's help, Am Yisrael will pull through this in Eretz Yisrael. As with our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, we also need to take control of our destiny here in the United States. Why have we not done this now? Where's the organized and supposedly connected and confident American Jewish community? Where are the mega donors who gave $1 billion for Birthright Israel? We could get 1 million Jews and Gentiles on the Washington Mall in support of Israel and take a stand against the Jew hatred sweeping the world. It would be an important statement if in American public life, and we could go a long way to staunch the ebbing away of the confidence of the American Jewish community. Yeah. Okay. I have no connections and have no idea where to start, but there are so many people who could do this. We need to step up. The future of the most important and vibrant Jewish community in the present day diaspora depends on it. Are we all required to say, oh, that's that. Okay. Well, I don't want to weigh in whether this is the right idea, a million march in Washington. I'm not going to say it's a bad idea. I think you have to look at a lot of logistics and see practically is that the best way to go. But it would be definitely a show of unity and a solidarity, and the world would gain attention from the world. So in that sense, it may be an excellent idea. But I read it, and thank you for suggesting that. Should we participate in a pro-Israel rally when there are many potential safety concerns? This again has to be asked case by case, where if there's security, what the police say, what the authorities say. Overall, we shouldn't be having to cower in fear or retreat. But you have to know the situation. If it's a pro-Israel rally in a place that's very provocative, you have to be careful at times, not doing things just recklessly. So that would have to be answered, as I said, case by case. Overall, the idea of standing together, but I would add, include Teira Avedi Mils Chasadim, not just demonstrations and statements, but should have something of Kedusha, of holiness. Learn, say, should say something from Teira, a prayer, a Kapitel Tehillim, and Tzedakah. So that sanctifies and makes it into a kinus, into something that is, even though the Eibushter Sheichen and rests and resides even when 10 Jews come together and they're not even Eisik and Teira Mitzvahs, but when, especially in a time like this, we need the Teira Mitzvahs element, is what I would add. Okay, there are more questions about actions. I'll leave some of them for next week. Hopefully I won't need to talk about it. What I do want to go over to is the Parsha. There's so much to address, what should I say? Okay, we will get there. Okay, so Lev Midditzait. So last week I gave a whole overview going from Simchas Teira, Bereishis, Noyach, Lech Lecha, and Vayera. And the story, it's so uncanny and even prescient that Mamash is the story of our time. How the promised land is promised to Avraham Avinu, how he will have children like the stars in heaven spread over the world, how they'll be in Golis, the Beis Ben Apsodim, in all the Golis, and the final Golis Edem and Golis Yishmol, and the confrontation between Yishmol and Yitzchok we discussed last week, the banishing of Yishmol, because the Derech Aveda has to be Avram and Yitzchok, and yet Yishmol would be a great nation. Lu Yichye Yishmol, the fun of Avram prayed for. So I want to continue with the question, how does the Torah story of Yishmol and Yitzchok continue in this week's Torah portion? So it continues. Even though this parsha that we're reading now is Parsha Chayei Sara, so it's mostly about Sara, her passing, her burial, how Avram buys land in order to demonstrate his ownership, and not as a gift from Ephraim. And then it continues the story of Yitzchak, finding a shidduch for Yitzchak with Rivka. But then at the end of the parsha, it goes concludes after the passing of Avram Avinu. So it says, and Yitzchak and Yishmael came to bury him. It says Yishmael did tshuva, Rashi says. Because you see that he precedes Yitzchak before Shmuel, before Yishmael. In other words, Yishmael recognizing why he was banished. Not because he wasn't a son of Avram, of course he was. But the discipline, you need the gvura of Yitzchak to balance the chesed of Avram, the passion of Avram, as we discussed. But then it continues, and ve'elu tel this Yishmael ben Avram. We're told about his whole pedigree, his children. And says, Eilu Shmeis b'nei Yishmael. And then at the end, the last pasuk, it says that Yishmael passes away, 137 years old. Ve'yishkenu mechavila, and where he lived, mechavila ad shur, asher al pnei Mitzrayim, ve'yacha ashura al pnei kol echov nofo. Says the Baal HaTurim that what comes next after the end of Chayei Sara, ve'elu tel this Yitzchak, to tell us kishiyipel Yishmael nofo ba'achris hayomim, the end of days, oz Yitzmach ben David, then will blossom ben David Mashiach shu mitel this Yitzchak, from the children of Yitzchak. Now, the Baal HaTurim is not just taking this in a vacuum. It comes from Zohar and Midrashim. And really goes back to the real narrative. All the Golias that the Eden would go through was for Bitter Netzutzes to refine and ultimately bring Moshiach and Geula. And the last Golias would be Edom and Yishmael. And the challenges, says the Zohar at the end of Parsha Ve'era, that there'll be battles, Yishmael will wage war with Edom, with Esav, with the Western world, and with Eden. And the end will be Yisrael, Yisachayel, the Jews will prevail, Mashiach will come. Same in Zer, Pasha, Balak, and other places. So you see here, and this all comes at the end of Pasha Chayei Sara. It was Sara that banished Yishmael, but in her Pasha, her final effect on Yishmael was he should do tshuva. So it worked. The banishment was not to punish him. The banishment was actually to help him. That's sometimes what you need to do in discipline. And ultimately, the end of the story, Mashiach's coming. So the Milsa, let me share with you an answer from the Rebbe, Rav Greenglass. Rabbi Greenglass wrote to the Rebbe that it says in a Maimer, Matzah Zu Tofresh Mem, from the Rebbe Marash. It's page 65 in the original print published. So it says that Masha Amar Avram Avinu Olam Hashem Lu Yishma Yishmal Yichya Lefonov Lefonecha. The Ima Yeshe, in other words, that Yishmael should be the one that inherits him and should be living on as Avram's legacy. It says the Ima Yeshe Bevade Loi Hoyenelam Imenu. Even though it was clear, it's definite that it was not concealed from Avram the personality of Yishmael, he knew in prophecy what would be ba'achris hayom, like we discussed the Briz Ben Absarim in other ways. He knew what would be. So Rabbi Greenglass asked the Rebbe, what is it referring to, the achris hayom? And he quotes Sef Parsha Ve'eda, where it says that Bnei Yishmael will bring wars and ultimate Mashiach will come. The Rebbe adds, okay, You bring Lahayr Mazayar, Umazayar Chele Gimel, Seif Parsha Balak, and Piyut Yisrael Nesha, Seir V'chesne. Says Kila that we eliminated Seir is Esa V'chesne, his father in law, Yishmael. V'oid. So you see, there's a whole narrative here. This is not coming to justify, God forbid, that which happened. But after the fact, you start seeing. The Rebbe quoted the famous Yalkut Shemeni in Tov Shin Nun, and now the Persian Gulf War, that Yamed Amelech Paris will attack an Amelech, an Arabian leader, and the world will get confused and afraid what's happening, and the Eden will get afraid. And the Ebershter says, Bonai la al tisyara, my children, don't be afraid. Kol ma shasisi, everything I've done b'shvilchem, for you. Higi ezman geulaschem, the time of your geula has come. So what we see, my friends, from this is that the narratives that we're reading in the Torah are all relevant to our times now. And above all, the story is coming to an end. Our prayers and hope is it's come to an end immediately without any more casualties, without any more pain, and just besimcha v'tuv levav. So the lesson for us, what is this lesson for us today? Is firstly to understand the deeper story. That there is an alter ego. There's a Yitzchak and there's a Yishmael. There's a Yaakov and there's a Esav. We'll talk about that in the coming weeks. And we have a job to do, to refine and be mevar. Shmini Atzeres, when this tragedy happened, the atrocities, the end of Sukkot. Sukkot, we were davening, saying the Shivim Porim that were the 70 bulls that were offered at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, Kenegad the Shivim Umas. We're praying for that. And in B'neshama Parim Sfaseinu, when we say it in the words of Tefillah, it's like those offerings. And then the Shmini Atzeres, ironically, those very nations that get blessings from us attack us. But we will prevail. And not only will we eradicate the evil, and the enemy will transform them, will transform the world to be Adir B'tachtenim. A world will Mola Oruz Deyes Hashem Kamayim Le'yam Echasim Le'yarei V'le'yashchisu Al Har Kachri. A world, no more evil and destruction. A world of peace. Le'rov le'melchame. Le'yese kol ha'elam el'ladasas Hashem b'lvad. Ozepech elamim sofa b'ruda. And Basi will be a base tefillah l'kol ha'amim. The nations will all serve God in peace and harmony within the diversity. This is what we need to know. At this point, we have to do what is necessary to eradicate, but above all, to teach the world what Avraham Avinu taught us all, including Yishmael, and help Yishmael today, the Bnei Yishmael today, or wherever they originate from, but it's connected in some way to Yishmael, to know what Yishmael came to discover, that Yitzchak precedes Yitzchak, that Yishmael does tshuva. So they will do tshuva like they did tshuva at the end of this week's Pasha, with the influence of Sarah Imenu. Sarah was not his mother, but Sarah understood. She understood the story. So may all this happen, b'kariv mamish mamish. God should protect le'yonav le'yehine le'yonav le'yish Hashem Yisrael, especially the Eden in Eretz Yisrael, where eini Hashem alekecha mereshit shashana, eini Hashem alekecha ba mereshit shashana v'ad achri shana, and it's already come to this point where we can go right into the Gula Amitzis v'ashlema in a painless and just a beautiful way, v'simchas elam al reisha. This has been My Life Chassidus Applied. We're here every Sunday, 8 to 9 p.m. Please go to chassidusapplied.com. You can find a place to ask questions, to view previous programs, and at meaningfullife.com/war in Israel. You can find many, many resources constantly being updated. Love to hear from you. Should only hear good news. Kol Tov.
This program is brought to you by My Life, Chassidus Applied. Please help us continue our programs. Make even a small contribution at chassidusapplied.com/donate.